Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. On Saturday, the 6th of October, the London International Church of Christ are putting on a Deuteronomy teaching day, and it's my great fortune to be able to teach that. So these are a few Deuteronomy teaching day teasers, and here we're up to number 6. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 and following. Moses says that at that time I pleaded with the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty deeds you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon." That seems reasonable enough, doesn't it? Moses has been a faithful leader of God's people for 40 years. He's on the borders of the promised land, and surely it's fair that he'd be able to go over to see it, to go into the land. Verse 26, "But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. That is enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross this Jordan. But commission Joshua, and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. It doesn't seem fair, does it? Chapter 3 ends on a sad story, a sad note, a warning to Israel. A few other places in the Bible show us the pain and the sadness in Moses. It's toughest at this point because he can see the blessings coming for Israel, but he will not personally experience them. Well, to get a perspective on this, it's a good idea to read Numbers chapter 20, which recalls the incident. We haven't got time to look at all that now, but have a look. Numbers 20 from verse 1. What happened? The people of Israel complained. The history of Israel's complaints is that they are not justified. Numbers chapters 11, 12, 14 and 16 give you God's perspective on these situations, and God gets angry. Of course, in Numbers chapter 20 there is no water, and it's a legitimate complaint in a way by the people of Israel. The attitude is wrong, but the need is real, and often we struggle with that ourselves. And indeed, God does respond in that situation in Numbers 20 with compassion and not anger. He uses Moses to provide. But what happens? Moses takes the staff, verse 9. He and Aaron gather the assembly together in front of the rock. Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring your water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Well, good result. But, verse 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." Does that sound harsh to you? In what way could you see it as fair or right of God to pass this judgment on Moses and Aaron, in fact? It seems that Moses is still struggling with this in Deuteronomy chapter 3, or as he recalls what his conversation was like with God in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Is God being kind by letting him see the promised land, or is God rubbing it in? It's interesting that even someone as great as Moses has to pay the price for his disobedience. Perhaps that's the point for Israel. They have to get the point that full obedience is the only way they will see the blessings. Israel had three leaders when they left Egypt: Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. None of them made it into the promised land. Perhaps that's a good motivation to us to high standards. Think about it for yourself. Maybe email me or talk to me at the teaching day and let me know what you think, whether it's fair what happened to Moses or not. I hope to see you there. City Temple, Saturday the 6th of October, from 10 till 1 for our Deuteronomy teaching day. Until then, God bless.